Mr. Rayner Taylor, Reel 8. We were talking about life at Beccles when with the Glamorgan Yeomanry, and we moved on a bit, but from the point of how the regimental sergeant major would cause you trouble. Yeah, you were telling me a story.
I was the trumpeter, the only one, and he would tell me what to call, what call to make. For an example, if the troops were having breakfast, he may come to the guard room and say, "Trumpeter, blow quarter dress." That meant to say, "You've got to be on parade in a quarter of an hour." Now they're only just having the breakfast, so they've got to throw the breakfast down, dash to their hut, and get spot on the equipment. That's what everything has been. And they've got to be on parade in a quarter of an hour, and he was to cause mayhem. Oh. The NCOs and your company sergeant majors, he was awful doing tricks like that.
Now, do you think he did those tricks to try and make you more used to the sort of things that might happen in war, or do you think he did it because he just wanted to cause trouble?
Everybody said he was a peevish man, and I'd rather believe that, because although I probably had as much to do with him as anybody, because I was the liaison between him and the whole of the company, because I blew the calls at his command, you see. And he gave people very little time, and he seemed to take a delight in doing something which would cause the greatest amount of upset. He seemed to take a delight in it. He wasn't a popular man at all.
He wasn't sympathetic then?
No way at all. You couldn't have gone to him with a story. We'll say there was somebody ill at home. You couldn't have gone to him and explained that you would like a bath to go home because your mother was at you. He wouldn't have an ear for you, whereas others probably would have had, but not him.
So the other NCOs were all right?
Ever so decent.
They were more like the men you'd had at
precinct? Oh, yes. By that time, of course, we were getting a smattering of our own lads promoted to lance corporals. Oh, yes.
Did you ever want to be a lance corporal?
I wanted to at one time, but there was no chance because I could blow a bugle. Never any chance of that.
What about the other officers? So you had this colonel, yeah, who's not too
old. The other officers were very nice.
Were they old men as well, training?
Yes.
Or were they getting ready to go out as well?
No, there was only one. I remember one, he was a sports officer. Oh, he was a big fella. He was called Davis. And they had a football team, and they used to play, of course, at rugby union, you see, the Welsh people, always rugby union. But we also had an ordinary football team, and we had quite a good football team. But on sports days, the rugby union, and he was a forward. And the story used to go that he either played with the Welsh international team or was a reserve for the Welsh international team. He was a big, strong man with a moustache he used to twist. He loved this little moustache. Decent man, very decent indeed. And he taught us what he taught us bailey fighting, things like that, right? Upper latum sort of man, you know.
And he was one of the few young ones, or
yes,
was
he? Yes. He was older than us. He'd be in his late 20s, perhaps.
So you didn't have any 18-year-old second lieutenants,
no, then? No 18-year-olds. We had one or two young ones, but not that young.
So this unit was basically a training unit.
Oh,
after
yes.
You'd gone, would they get another lot in?
As far as I know, there would be another lot come like we'd, and they would start right from scratch and train them up to line capabilities. Well, that's as far as I know would happen.
Now, how did you get on with the local civilians in Beccles? It was only a...
Excellent. Because we were all youngsters, and because we were nearly all Welsh, We nearly all had a smattering of the Sunday schools. Even the Welsh, more so than us. And the churches in Bettles, they were splendid. Sunday night, every church and chapel, they threw the doors open for us to go to the evening service. And of course we went, oh great. Perhaps because we like going to chapel, but I rather think it was more because we got a cup of coffee and a packet of Woodbines. Woodbines for a penny, a cup of coffee. But the ladies of the chapel, they looked after us. We're only kids, damn it, we're only 18 year old. We got a packet of Woodbines, and we used to go there. So we really got very friendly with the people of Beckles, and through that, it gave me one of the most emotional times of my life, either before, then, or since. Did that? I've never forgotten it.
What was that?
When we were due to go to France, we were leaving Beckles to entrain to go to Folkestone. And everybody knew that we were going to France, and it was Saturday evening. And of course, we marched from the camp through the town of Beckles to the station. And we lined up in the station yard, waiting for a train coming down from Lowestoft, which was going to bring in a draft of the Lovett Scouts, which were going out with us to join some Scottish unit. Anyway, we were all in the station yard, and the colonel got on with his old-fashioned station wagons with four big iron wheels, and he stood there. And he said how much he wished he were coming with
line bugger, you know. So him and the officers and the NCOs, senior NCOs, they all stayed?
Oh, yes, but they all came with us to the station to see us off.
Gotcha. What was he saying in this speech?
What a fine body of men we were, and he was sorry to see us, but he hoped we'd remember our training, and he'd like to go with us. I don't think he would, you know, but he said that. And he was saying with this... It was said with this big sports officer. Oh, and he looked and he appeared sincere. He wasn't going with us because he was a damn good training officer. But he hadn't been abroad. He was supposed to have something wrong with him. Now, during this wait for the train, there was about 200 of our draft in the station yard. Now, you know Welsh people, you know the beggars to sing. At the drop of a hat, they'll sing. And they kept them, it seems as though the whole town had come to see us off. But they were kept out of the station, and we were lined up in this station there, and suddenly, some of these Welsh lads began to sing, "Come Rhonda." Even to this day, it affects me to this day. You know the tune, don't you? At every big Welsh occasion, football matches, aside from anywhere, they will sing "Come Rhonda." They did then. You have to forgive me, the whole town joined in. Tears, we were all striking. It affected us. But it does even now. It does to me now. Never in my life have ever experienced anything like it. So much so that Thora Hearns got that on her record to play on one of her programmes. Sunday evening programme. And she's got that story on. It's a good one. And it's true. I've never been as emotionally disturbed in my life as I was that night. Mind you, we're only kids. We're going to war. 18-year-old.
Had you had an embarkation leave?
Yes, yes.
What had that been like?
Well...
Did your mother know you were going?
Oh, yes, yes. But there'd been several embarkation leaves with the other lads, so it was just another one, except that the baby of the house were going. Oh, yes, 7 days and... Oh, but we got on this train and went to Folkestone.
Was this all the lot who'd gone from...
from Beckles and...
To think. You'd
some
all
from
gone
the Buck Lowestoft, the Lovett Scouts and the Denbyshire Yeomanry, a unit like who were trained as we were as infantry. We go right to Folkestone, and it was night time when we got there. Now, this I shall never forget. As we marched down toward the dockside, we were taken into, I'm not sure whether it's in the Grand Hotel, right at the dockside, and we were given perhaps a pot of tea and a jam butty or something like that. But it was pitch black. But from the forecourt of the hotel, looking across the States, you could see the flashes of the guns. Oh, yeah. And you could hear the rubber. And you could see the whole skyline lit up. By there was probably a big flap on at the time. It disturbed me very, very much. I thought, go in there. Anyway.
So you were nervous then?
Weren't nervous.
You were, I mean.
I was scared stiff, not nervous. I was scared stiff. I'm not Errol Flynn. I'm no way. Get on this ship.
How could you try and... I mean, you were very nervous. Were you able to not let it show?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I think everybody tried to cover it. The method I used was... It's caused a lot of fun since, because the story is a good one. Got on this ship, and we'd always been told in training, if you lose any of your equipment, you'll have to pay for it. They always took you with that. Got on this ship, and it was night time, and there were a lot of people going back off leave. The ship carried a hell of a lot of players. On this deck, and I can remember him, he was a big fella, and he was in the artillery. And you all had your full pack, you know. I unbuttoned my epaulettes, which enabled me to drop them back on the deck. Put the rifle on top of it, and I said to this artilleryman, I said, will my pack be all right if I leave it here, as if somebody pinched it off the board? He said, look, lad, he says, where's that going? If you lose any of that, they'll give you another. Take no one's a pair. Don't bother about losing it. I said, where's toilet? He said, bottom of them steps. And it was. And I went down. I opened the door. Went in. Shut the door. Engaged. And I sat on the throne. Not for its natural function. I sat there out of the way. And... I remember the engine started, could feel the throbbing. And then I realised we were off. And I still sat there. And when the engine stopped, I came out. We were in Boulogne. Now, if ever anybody said to me, as they did always, what did you come over on? Meaning the name of the ship, because there were... There were dozens of transports being used at the time, meaning what ship they come on, was it on the toilet, or were to that effect. And that's how I travelled the war. I sat on the lavatory, and I did. I'm not ashamed of it. I was scared stiff, 18 years old. But I was able to cover it up by going to sit on the lavatory with door shut. How these others did, I don't know.
Had you been told before you get to when you landed in France, had you been told how to behave in France with regard to women and various things?
No. They didn't do that sort of thing. You were expected to know. You were expected to behave. When you got off the ship at Boulogne, there was a long route march up a hill to a... Camp St. Martin. It was a hell of a walk, that was.
What were your first impressions on that walk? Because it's your first time in France.
Tired, and I was a bit bewildered. I think it was the first time I'd seen any foreigners, and I wondered what they were like, you know, and wonder how they behaved. And Some of them shouted all sorts, and I don't know whether it was derogatory or what. I don't know, but it didn't. It was something, a new experience, you know. And that from there, of course, you...
What was the... You went up this steep hill?
Yes, to St. Martin's Camp. The tented, it was a tented camp, you know.
And
it was the place where all drafts went there, and from there, they were spitted and sent to the particular unit that they're destined for. Because every draft that went out always took a draft officer with them. With all the details of how many and all about them. And he stayed with that draft until they reached the unit that they had to go to. And then, having handed them over, he came back.
Do you remember who you're drafting?
Oh, no, I couldn't tell you. No,
so he was with you. What happened at the camp? Oh, by the way, what was the date you went out to France? I know you're not quite sure.
Oh, I couldn't tell you about that.
Early, you thought
early,
it was
early.
About August 17, you thought.
Something like that.
Would that be right?
Yeah, somewhere about.
So it was summer? No,
summer, yeah. Oh, aye. But like I say, there are some things, and there's something a bit hazy on, but you'll have to forgive me for that. I'm not quite...
So what happened at the camp, at St. Martin's camp?
Well, you were only there a few days, you know, whilst they sorted everybody out.
Were you restricted to camp, or were you allowed into...
Oh, no, there was no such thing going into the town. You wouldn't have gone in any case, because you were too busy becoming used to the fact you was in France. That was sufficient of an experience for a starter. That was sufficient. And listening to the older men, some of them shoot a light,
what
you.
Sort of things would they tell you, the older men who'd done it before?
What to expect. Some say, you'll be all right, and some would tell you, give you an idea what to expect. And in general, you're indoctrinated into what you're going to see.
Did you believe them?
In the main, I was still living in the memory of my brother, what my brothers had told me, you see. I was still... some I believed and some I didn't, you know. But eventually it sorted itself out.
Now, you were drafted straight from St. Martin's, and you didn't go to Etaps then?
No, I went to Etaps after I'd had flu.
Right, so you were drafted straight from St. Martin's camp. How long were you there for?
Oh, St. Martin's, only a few days. Only a few days. They didn't keep them there long because there were drafts. There were drafts coming out every day. Every day there were drafts coming out from all over the empire. They were coming on the... They all went to St. Martin's. Anyone that landed up below went to St. Martin's.
It must have been very crowded.
Oh, it was. Very crowded indeed.
Was it as big as Priest Heath?
No, I don't think it was quite as big as Pre-Heath, no, because it was a transit camp, really. They moved from one to another, you know.
So when you got your draft, what happened when you got your draft?
Well, from St. Martin's...
How many were in your draft? Went to the Welch Regiment.
Yes, well, I think there'd be about 150 went up to the battalion.
And were these all men from the Glamorgan?
Oh, yes, yes.
So you were still with the people you trained
with? Oh, yes. When you reached the battalion, they were out on rest at the time. You did have a few...
Do you remember the journey through France at all? You know, your first journey to join the battalion?
Well, it was fragmented by train so far, wagon so far.
What did you think of the trains?
Oh, not very much. There was a page of them all, it was 8 ohms and 40 something. Paid on
8 that, horses, 40 men.
That was paid on the side. I remember that, you know.
Was it?
But you only go as far as the railhead.
Was it uncomfortable in there?
Oh, well, there was no comfort because they were just. They were just cattle trucks, and you were in them. There was no such thing as railway carriages, not from the transit camps. Oh no. And
which railhead did you go to? Do you remember?
I think we went to Ayr. I think it was called Ayr. Aire. I think it was Ayr. I'll tell you a funny thing they did. It was there where I saw it first time. When the train stopped, crowds of fellas used to jump down off the... and run to the engine and brew up off the... It turned the steam on and they brewed up. And they come back with tea that they brewed out of the engine. And that was a very, very common thing to do.
Did you learn to do it?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, they got that or nothing.
What about going to the toilet? Would you do that while the train stopped, or had you...
That always caused difficulties. 40 men, they want to go at odds. They pee out of the door while it's going, and they want it, and they want to do... I want crap. Oh, they got all sorts of... And if it reached the stage, and quite a lot of them, there'd be a hole in the floor. It meant that to fouling the whole place up. It seems incredible that men lived in such condition. But
did that
did.
Sort of thing still embarrass you, or had you got over any...
I got over that. And it wasn't very long before you found you're getting some lice. Something I think everybody found.
What, even by the time you're on the train?
Oh, yes. Even... You vowed when you went out, it wasn't going to happen to you, you weren't going to get lousy.
So within a few days?
Oh, yes. So much so, I had a cotton shirt. I treasured it. It was an officer's shirt, cotton.
How'd you got that?
I don't know. I'd acquired it somewhere. I don't know. I was going to make sure. And it had been in my pack. I put it on.
Itching under the arms.
They must have been impregnated in your pack. They got everywhere. And after a few days, you found you fought a hopeless battle. Now,
were you shocked?
Shocked
when that happened to you? I mean, what did you feel when you got the lice?
Well, yes. An attempt. You'd been fighting a battle against them before you realised you couldn't win. You couldn't win. And then you realised everybody had him. And they did all sorts of things to try and get without him, but it was impossible. If billets out of the line, a bar...
I'll come back to it when you get back to your unit, yeah. But you had the lice, the first signs, on the train before you got
there.
Yes,
a few days after we got to France, we got the lice. I think the lice were in the camp at Boulogne.
Now, what happened when you got to air and you got off the train? How did you... What was the next stage of your
journey? Well, the next stage was on the way up to the battalion.
And how did you travel that bit?
Well, it's a bit hazy, that, because we travel always. Perhaps there may have been some wagons, transport going up to the battalion, or ration wagons. And you said the best way you could get up.
Now, the battalion, you say, were out of the line at
the
time?
They were out on rest at the time.
Do you remember where they were, roughly?
Oh, I couldn't tell you where. No, I don't remember that.
Which sector
all.
Of the line?
Yes, well,
Which big front were they behind?
Well, I should say, it was the Somme sector, that.
So behind Albert?
Yes. Something like that. I'm a bit hazy about that because my geography not very... And then again, a man in the line knows little about anything else, or even where he is, you know.
What sort of reception were you given when you joined the battalion?
Well, for a start off, look around, see if you knew anybody. That was the first thing.
Did you?
No. And then you became integrated with the rest of the platoon you were allocated to.
Was that the most important thing to you, the platoon, not the company?
Oh, yeah, platoon. Well, the platoon was the individual unit of about 20 men, something like that. And there would be a platoon officer. That was your own second lieutenant.
Do you remember who your platoon officer was?
He was... I don't know... A word sticks in my mind. Not Street. It will come back to me. I'll come back to that. He got killed eventually.
And which company were you in?
I don't know, A, B, C, or D.
You don't remember?
No, I don't remember that.
What about the battalion? Now, you're not, I know you're not quite sure, but which battalion do you think it was? We can perhaps check it before I come again.
I don't know whether... I don't know. No, because, you see, battalions, they were split up according to the losses that received. They were split up and received reinforcement. It was very hazy how they did these things. They just sent men to whichever units needed them most.
Did you stay in the same battalion throughout the war? I know you went. You were ill for a while, but did you stay with that unit throughout?
Well, until I got wounded, and then afterwards, of course.
Now, you mentioned earlier it might have been the 2nd Battalion. Was it a regular battalion?
I couldn't say. I think they used to talk about they'd served in Egypt, I think they said. But the old lads. But they'd received so many reinforcements till they were a right hotchpotch of...
So it had been a regular battalion?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember the name of the colonel?
No, I've no idea.
Do you remember the name of
any... I don't remember the name of any of the officers. No, I don't remember them. Because the turnover of officers, it was terrific, you know.
What about any senior NCOs? Do you remember their names?
No, I don't know those. I know I saw a sergeant get wounded, but I never knew his name.
So you joined this unit behind the Somme front, and you were settling in. They were a Welsh regiment. They were the Welsh regiment. Did they make you welcome as a Lancastrian? Or they're a bit sniffy?
In some respects, yes. But I think it would be better if I said tolerated. I would think so. There were little things that used to happen. They rubbed us the wrong way. Because there were quite a few of us. Well, only a few of us. That all came from Lancashire. And... we were made to feel we weren't natives, very much so.
So they weren't as friendly to you English or you Lancastrians as they were to their own Welsh?
No, they weren't. No.
Did you tend to stick with your friends?
Oh, yes, very much so, because except for special friends, you weren't accepted. And yet, individually... There were quite a lot of smashing blokes, individually, but it seemed when they got together.
Was it anything other than a slight coldness towards you, or did they take any more active?
No, it was just a coldness. You were just made to feel you were inferior. I think one of the reasons, of course, because we didn't speak Welsh.
Did they used to speak Welsh, as the Welsh and the Glamorgan Yeomanry had? Would they speak Welsh amongst
themselves? The men, they spoke English, but when they got in groups, they seemed as though they wanted to use their own language, you know, and you began to feel very much out of it.